Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th Canto, Chapter 1, Text 38. Translation. O King Parikshit, Lord Shiva was pleased with Vasishtha. Therefore, to satisfy him and to keep his own word to Parvati, Lord Shiva said to that saintly person, Your disciple Sudyumna may remain a male for 1 month and a female for the next. In this way he may rule the world as he likes. Some verses before that. We left off yesterday, the 33 yesterday, to remind us. Since that time no male had entered that forest. This is a forest where Lord Shiva was staying with his wife, and he was interrupted in his pastimes with his wife, and then he said, anyone who comes into this place will immediately become a female. So then, since that time, no male has entered into that forest. But now, King Sudyumna, having been transformed into a female, began to walk with his associates from one forest to another. Sudyumna had been transformed into the best of beautiful women who excite sexual desire and was surrounded by other women. In other words, all his associates got turned into women. Upon seeing this beautiful woman loitering near his ashram, Buddha, the son of the moon, immediately desired to enjoy her. The beautiful woman also desired to accept Buddha, the son of the king of the moon, as her husband. Then, thus, Buddha begot in her womb a son named Pururava. I heard from reliable sources that King Sudyumna, the son of Manu, having thus achieved femininity, remembered his family spiritual master, Vasishtha. Upon seeing Sudyumna's deplorable condition, Vasishtha was very much aggrieved. Desiring for Sudyumna to regain his maleness, Vasishtha began to worship his Ishtadev, Lord Shankar. And then today's verse, which we read. Lord Shiva, being pleased with the worship of Vasishtha, in order to satisfy his devotee and also keep his word to his wife, Parvati, Lord Shiva said to Vasishtha, Your disciple, Sudyumna, may remain a male for 1 month and a female for the next. In this way he may rule the world as he likes. Purport. The Sanskrit word gotraja, which is in the, there's two verses here, 38 and 39. So the word gotraja is in the second verse. The word gotraja is significant in this connection. Brahmanas generally act as spiritual masters of two dynasties. One is their disciplic succession, and the other is the dynasty born of their semen. Both descendants belong to the same gotra or dynasty. In the Vedic system, we sometimes find that both Brahmanas and Kshatriyas and even Vaishyas come in the disciplic succession of the same rishis. Because the gotra and the dynasty are one, there is no difference between the disciples and the family born of the semen. The same system still prevails in Indian society, especially in regard to marriage, for which the gotra is calculated. Here the word gotraja refers to those born in the same dynasty, whether they be disciples or members of the family. Om Gyanatimarandasya Vinanjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pavunitananda Sri Advaita Garada Shivasani Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This verse is speaking about family, the material family which we are born into, and then there's a second family, which is the spiritual family, which a fortunate person may be accepted into. So material families, of course, we're very familiar with. and they're a big source of difficulty and problems. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, because of his attachment, he was attached to his family members, the material body of his family members, he was very attached to them. And when Krishna told him to kill his family members, he said, no, I can't. It's my grandfather, my cousins, my brothers, my teachers. I can't kill them. So Arjuna was exhibiting the typical natural attachment. Of course, it's natural not to want to kill your family members. That's natural. But in this case, his affection was for their body. And so Krishna chastised Arjuna. He said, you're lamenting for what is not worthy of grief. He said, a wise person, he doesn't lament for the body, either living or dead. So why don't you do your duty? So in so many ways, Krishna is instructing Arjuna to get free from this bodily attachment, this family attachment. So this is what's keeping people in the material world is attachment to family. Well, what is the basis of that attachment? It's based on the body. The person is thinking, the body, this body of my father, this is my father. And this is my brother because he received his body from the same person that I received my body from. We're both brothers and this is our father. So we're only seeing the body. And then we become very attached and very connected and all our affection is directed towards the body. The bodies of our friends, the bodies of our relatives, brothers and sisters. But actually, we're not the body. So our father's body, we're not actually seeing our father. Who is the real father? We're seeing the body of our father. We're saying, yes, this is my father. But this is all external. These relationships, family relationships, attachment to the body of my wife, attachment to the body of my husband or children or father or mother, these are external. They're not real. They're temporary. They're a product of illusion. And Krishna explains, who is actually the real father? Because your father is not a body, but your father is a soul. And your brother is not a body, your brother is a soul. And you are not a body, you are a soul. So on that platform, there is real family. On the platform of the soul. Because we have a common origin. There is one father. If you trace back the origin of everything, it's Krishna. Krishna expands in Purusha avatars, this Mahavishnu. Then Mahavishnu expands into Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Then comes the lotus flower, right? Then Atmabhu, Lord Brahma is born. Then from Brahma, Brahma creates all the living entities. He creates the sages and the rishis who start these lines. They start lines of gotras, Kashyapa Gotra, Gautama Gotra, Vashishta Gotra, because they're rishis and sages, but they marry and they produce children. But where does it start from? Who is the source of all of Brahma? Vishnu. So Krishna says the real father is me. Sarva Yonasha Kontaya, Murtaya Sambhavantiya, Tasam Brahma Mahadyonir, Aham Bija Vrtavita. Krishna says, I am the seed giving father, because the actual seed of life is the Atma. So we have a family, but the family is not of this world. Our original family is the family of Krishna. And we have a relationship there, and we can direct our affection there, and we can receive affection from that family. And that family is permanent. It's eternal. So the purpose of human life is actually to redirect our affection. Come to reality. Understand. All these bodily relationships, this is all illusion. And Vrishabhadeva explains why that illusion is so intense. Pumsa Sriyamatuni Bhavametam Tayoratam Ridya Grantamahu Atogriha Shetra Sutapta Vitayar Janasimaho Yamahamameti. He says, Pumsa Sriyamatuni Bhavametam Pumsa Sriyamatuni. When a man and a woman come together, then what do they produce? The first thing they produce is Janasimoham. Aham Ameti. They produce a huge illusion. Moha. Janasya Mohoyam Aham Ameti. a huge illusion is produced that this is my wife. That's the illusion is aham mamati. And how do you produce that illusion? When man and woman come together. So that illusion, and then it's explained, Rishabhadeva explains the features and the aspects of that illusion. But janasya moho yam aham mamati is I, aham, I am the husband and mamati. This is my wife, this is my body, this is my children, my family, my relatives. This is my family, I'm part of the Hindu family. I'm part of the Indian nation. Or if you're a little broader thinking, you're thinking, oh, I'm part of the world, the family of man. The world family. I'm part of the family of man. But that's also, that's moha. It's illusion. So as a result of this illusion, then everything expands. Atogriya, and then ridhya grantam. Ridhya grantam means heart. Grantam means hard knot. Very tight knot in the heart is tied up. As soon as you, because you see what happens in vivaha jagya. In Hindu culture, when a man and woman are married, there's one part of the ceremony where the lady's sari is tied up. It's tied up to the man's dhoti. Right? There's a knot. So that, if that person had any intelligence, they would say, oh, this is the external representation of the ridhya grantam. This is the external representation. I am tied up by the hands and feet to this woman and to this man, to the body of this woman and the body of this man. That is janasya moho yam aham mamati. So pumsastri yamatuni bhavmetam tayoritam ridhya grantam aho. Ridhya grantam is that knot, that there's a big knot in the heart. So this is to remind you, hey, wake up, you fool. Day one, when you're married, that knot is tied. And then the second thing is done is a ring is put on your finger. At least in the West, I don't know about here. In India they do also? Some wedding ring, gold band. So the man is 2 meters tall. He weighs 100 kilos. He's a Air Force pilot, very strong, powerful Sikh, very strong person. He can lift so much, 100 kilos over his head. He can beat up 5 men at one time. So then he marries one short little Punjabi lady. Right? Like 1 foot shorter than he is. And so, he's so powerful that he could take her with one arm and he could crush her with one arm. Crush all her ribs and break all her ribs. Very powerful. But, when she puts the ring on his finger, it's the same thing as a kissing. The farmer. There's a huge bull. Huge, powerful Vrisha. Big bull. And if he gets a little angry, he can just throw the bullock cart this way and break down your house and smash everything. So much power in the bull. But as soon as the farmer puts a ring in his nose, and he ties a rope around it, it's so painful. It's so painful for the bull to be pulled by the nose that he'll go wherever he says. Although he could take that kisanwala and go behind him and throw him 20 meters in the air. So such a powerful bull is controlled by a little ring. So such a powerful, big man is controlled by a little ring around his finger, by a little tiny girl. Pumsastriya matuni bhavmetam. This is janasya moham. This is the illusion. So the wife says, sit down, yes. Stand up, yes. Go work, yes. Get 2 jobs, yes. Buy me a new car, yes. Buy me a new house, yes. And all she does is speak a few words. So this is the hard knot in the heart due to bodily attachment. So the man, he works hard day and night. And he's driven. He's driven by a type of force, Prabhupada describes nectar devotion. In the family life, he's driven by a force. And that force is a type of mellow. It's a type of rasa. It's a taste. It's a taste which is based on his vatsalya relationship or his madhurya relationship. Relationship with his children as a father and as a mother. And relationship with his wife or husband as conjugal lover. A husband, wife. So that from that bodily relationship he gets a certain flavor, a certain taste, a sweet taste. And that's called rasa. And it drives him on. He works day and night and year after year after year after year. And that whole taste is based on illusion. Janasya moho yam aham mamati. And from that illusion, ato griha kshetra sutapta vidhaya. Ato griha shetra sutapta vitaira. Rishabhadeva is speaking this verse in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam to his sons, his 100 sons. And he's understanding that they should know what is the goal of life, what is the goal of human life. So he says, watch out. Watch out for family life. Ato griha shetra sutapta vitaira. Because once you get bound, man and woman, and you get covered by this intense, impenetrable material illusion based on the bodily attachment and bodily exchange, then from that illusion expands the idea, griha kshetra sutapta vitaya. I need griha, I need house, sutta, I need children, apta, I have my relatives, my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, my cousin brother, my second cousin, my third cousin, his family, my family. Ato griha kshetra sutapta vitaya. Then wealth, vitaya. Vitaya means wealth. Paisa, rupees. More, more, more. Can't you get a better job? Come on, you have a degree and be calm. You're only getting 6,000 rupees a month? Come on, can't you go find another job? No, but this job is very nice. It's nearby. I can walk to work. My employer is very nice. We have enough. God is giving us enough. No, we need more. We need more. Get another job. We don't have a washing machine. And you know, the neighbors have a washing machine. Her husband's making twice as much as you are. Oh, yeah. Okay. So you see that these bodily attachments and bodily relationships, they inevitably produce unbearable misery and suffering. This so-called material family. So therefore, Krishna, he's teaching us that we have a real family. You can actually have a flavor, you can taste a real rasa. We have relationships with our mother, father, brother, sister, and that gives us some flavor, some taste. Oh, he's my brother. Oh, I do anything for my brother. Oh, my wife. Oh, my wife. I lay my life down for her. No, shit, I mean anything. So this is because you're experiencing some flavor based on this body, completely external. And Krishna is saying that, why? You want to have this flavor, so enter into my family. Into the family of Krishna. There's another family of Krishna. Like we're talking about gotras. So you may be Gautam Gotra. Srila Prabhupada is in Gautama Rishi's Gotra. He comes from Gautama Rishi. So you may be in Vashishta Muni or Kashyap Muni in his Gotra. But these Gotras, they're all based on this body. But Krishna has a Gotra. Krishna's Gotra is a Chuta Gotra. He has a family. Krishna's family is eternal and infallible. It's called a Chuta. Krishna's called, why is Krishna's Gotra called a Chuta? Advaitam achutam ananam anantarupam adyam puranapuram navyogaram cha. He says, advaitam achutam anadim anantarupam. So Krishna is achutam because from Krishna, advaitam achutam anadim anantarupam adyam puranapurusham navyogaram cha. Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhakto govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. So Krishna is achyuta because from him innumerable, unlimited expansions come from him. So many expansions come from Krishna that you can't even imagine. You can't even imagine how many expansions are coming from Krishna. Yet Krishna, he maintains his same form. He doesn't diminish, he doesn't lose anything, he doesn't fall from his original form. This is achyuta, infallible. Nothing changes with him. So when you enter Krishna's family, you also develop a relationship. Krishna Sambandha. Krishna Sambandha. What is your relationship with Krishna? Are you in Dasya Bhav? Are you in Sakya Bhav? Vatsalya Bhav? Madhurya Bhav? You have some eternal loving relationship with Krishna. And when you offer yourself to Krishna in service, then you get reciprocation from him because he offers himself back to you. Yeyatam mam prapadyante tamsa taiva bhajamyaham. So if you offer your love to him as a friend, he will offer his love to you as the wonderful, most dearest friend. If you offer your love to him as a servant, He will become the most perfect and loving and kind and compassionate master or Lord. So this, and then while you're exchanging with the Lord in the Lord's eternal family, you will taste also rasa. You will get a very sweet and satisfying taste. But it's not this mundane rasa. It's not the mundane taste of enjoying one body or another body. It's not temporary. It's not limited. It's called bhakti rasa. The taste of devotional service. Bhakti rasa amrita. It is an amrit. It is a great nectar which bathes. That nectar bathes the mind. The mind is bathed in that nectar. The heart is bathed in that nectar. The body. And you feel such intense happiness that it's so pleasurable and so satisfying that if someone offers you the prospect to again enjoy material relationships, relationships with material family, you'll say, "Tik nay. No thank you. I don't want. Why should I give up this for that?" It's just like if someone, my friend was, he met his relatives the other day and they said, Why are you not paying attention to your family? You're always with the devotees, you're always in the temple, you're always reading, chanting. And he said, "Oh, we don't understand." And then his reply was, he said, "For someone who is always eating mungfali, someone who is always eating peanuts, and that's all he's ever tasted is peanuts, he can't appreciate the taste of almonds, of badam." So he said, and then the lady said, "Oh," this was his auntie, she says, "Oh, so you think I'm eating peanuts?" It became vivad. But the idea is that the taste of Krishna consciousness is topmost. That this is called bhakti rasa. So Krishna comes into this world in various avatars, as acharyas, as himself, as Lord Ram, as especially as Krishna, to invite us, "Please enter in to my family." That's why he displays his pastimes in Vrindavan. These are his family pastimes. These are not his kingly pastimes. These are not his demon-killing pastimes. Of course, some demons are killed. But in Vrindavan, the Nitya-lila aspect, there's Naimittik-lila and Nitya-lila. The Nitya-lila, which Krishna displays in Vrindavan, are his eternal feature, his eternal pastimes with his liberated devotees. So in that aspect, Krishna is showing all the different family relationships, all the different bhavas and rasas. He's exchanging dasi ras with his house servants, and sakya ras with his friends, the coward boys, and vatsalya ras with his mother and father, and all the different mothers of Vrindavan. All the mothers of Vrindavan are exchanging this vatsalya ras. And then the gopis, he's exchanging madhurya ras. So they're experiencing such a high flavor. And even though they appear, the Brijvasis appear externally in particular families, when they get that taste, that bhakti ras, then they forget everything. It's explained that when Krishna attracted the gopis with his flute to the forest of Vrindavan, they all came out. And then Krishna was saying, "Oh, you should go home to your families. You have your husbands are there, and your children, and your responsibilities, and your domestic duties, and you have to cook the dinner, and clean the house, and wash the clothes." And then the gopis were replying very philosophically. They said, expert transcendentalists, one who is an expert self-realized soul, or an expert transcendentalist, they realize that you, Krishna, are the Nitya Priya and the Swatma. My dear Krishna, all transcendentalists, all spiritualists and self-realized persons, they realize that you are the Nitya Priya and the Swatma. You are the eternal, dearly beloved. Not just Priya, "Oh my Priya, my Priya, my dear wife." But we can't say our wife is our Nitya Priya, or our husband is our Nitya Priyatam. So the gopis are saying, rishis, yogis, realized souls, they say that you are Nitya Priya, you are the eternal beloved, and you are Swatma, you are their very self, Swatma, my very own, my very self, because you are in the heart of everyone. And so realizing, we have also realized this, and because we have been attracted by the sweet sound of your flute, we have lost all of our attraction for our household duties. our household duties, our domestic duties, we have no longer any attraction for them. In fact, although before we heard your flute, and before we got that taste of bhakti rasa, we were absorbed in household affairs. The gopis are saying, we were very absorbed. We were cleaning and washing and cooking, and we were so absorbed. But as soon as we heard your flute and saw your beautiful form, we became so attracted, it was so pleasurable that our hands no longer want to do any housework. Our hands don't want to do any housework. And our bodies, they just ran out of that place. We have no more taste or no more pleasure over there in the household. And our minds, you have stolen our minds with your sweet flute playing. And so there's nothing for us to go back to. We have nothing. So this is the example of someone who has been attracted by the sweet taste, the Lila Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, Veena Madhurya, Prema Madhurya of Sri Krishna. And when he tastes that Bhakti Ras Amrita, then easily he can give up family, the body, the family, the nation, the world, everything. So this is Krishna invites, please, you come into the Achyuta Gotra. You are my part and parcel. Aham, Bija, Prada, Pita. I am the seed-giving father. I am the Pita. I created Vishnu. Vishnu expanded for me. Vishnu created Brahma. Brahma created the rishis and sages, Vashishta and Kasyapa and Gotam. And then they expanded so many dynasties. So your Gotra has its origin with me. Because your real Gotra is your part of me. Mamevamsho, Jivaloke, Jivabhuta Sanatana. So why don't you become part of my family? Why are you so doggedly attached to staying in this material family, which is illusion, which is not real, it's external, it's based on this body, which is simply dull matter? So this is the invitation. So when someone enters and becomes a devotee, then his gotra becomes the Achyuta gotra, the infallible gotra. And such a person who enters into Krishna's family, he never leaves that family. That's why it's called Achyuta. You don't fall from that family. That is eternal family. For once you enter Krishna's family, you stay in that family. And not only that, it's also explained, one meaning of the word Achyuta is that Krishna never falls from your consciousness. In other words, you forget Krishna. So when you're Chuta, Chuta means to fall or forget. So sometimes we remember Krishna, sometimes we forget him. But when we actually accept Krishna as our everything, and then he accepts us as his family member, and we surrender unequivocally and absolutely, then Krishna will sit in our heart, and he'll sit in our mind, and he'll never fall from there. He'll never leave there. So that's what it means to be a part of the Achyuta Gotra. Because the word Gotra means family tradition, and all this discussion is there in the purport about what Gotra means. There's a term they explain. This Prabhupada says, Gotra, there's two Gotras. A person is a Rishi, and he produces children. So he initiates those children. So that's his family line, the seminal line. He initiates his children. That's called Jati Guru. Jati Guru or Lokiki? Lokika. Lokika or Jati Guru? Sometimes you say Kula Guru. Kula Guru. Jati, he's by caste. You're his son, he gives you Upanayanam, he gives you Diksha, you're his disciple. But then other people, other brahmacharis or other people, they come to that Rishi, Vishishtamuni, Gotam, etc. And then he initiates them. So that's the line of parampara, that's the line of the siddhic succession. So Prabhupada said, in the purport, he says that those that are born in Gotra refers to the same dynasty, whether they be disciples or members of the family. So there's no difference between the seminal disciples of a Rishi and those that come and are not in his direct family. They're all part of his Kashyapa Gotra or Gotam Gotra. And it's so much connected that the son is called Putra. The son is called Putra and the disciple is called Chatra. So the Putra and the Chatra are equal. There's no difference between a Putra and Chatra. So much so, if you're in the same Gotra from the same Rishi, you may be the Chatra, that means the Shishya, Chatra, the disciple, or you may be the Putra, the direct son of that Rishi. When that Rishi dies, or when your father dies, the Chhatra and the Putra had equal right to the hereditary, the inheritance of that father or that guru. So if that Rishi, say Vasishtha Muni, all his sons died, and then his Chhatra is there, his disciple, who's not his direct son, he could inherit the wealth and property, and all, he could receive all the wealth and property, because he's, according to law, he's equal with the son and the Gotra. So you can see how much oneness there is there. So Prabhupada, of course, he would often lecture about this principle, entering to Krishna's family. Appreciate the real pleasure is there, in the pleasure in the soul. So we're reminded of this, that we are supposed to be members of a Chuta Gotra. It's explained when someone approaches the sannyasi and he says, "Oh, where are you from? What is your family?" But in other words, Purva Ashram. Purva Ashram. What was your ashram before? Purva. This is called Purva Ashram. But when a sannyasi is asked, "What is your Purva Ashram? What gotra did you belong to, or do you belong to, or what is your family?" He simply says, "I have entered the Achyuta Gotra. Achyuta Gotra. I've entered the family of Krishna. Krishna is the father. I've entered his family. His previous family, it doesn't exist. It's not important anymore. Now he's entered the eternal family. And he's tasting the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the eternal flavor of acting as Krishna's liberated loving devotee. Just as the gopis, they were attracted by the sweetness of Krishna. So because they tasted that sweetness, the sweetness of his flute, beautiful music, and the sweetness of his love, his prema madhurya, and his sweet beautiful form, then they gave up their household duties, everything. So this is the power of attraction. The sweet attraction of Krishna consciousness, the sweet flavor of Krishna consciousness is so attractive that if one actually tastes Krishna consciousness, he can leave everything. He leaves the lower taste for the higher taste. Because as I mentioned, bodily attachments, they simply lead to unbearable suffering and anxieties. If you're attached to any body in this world, your husband, your wife, your children, your relatives, inevitably they will produce unbearable anxieties and suffering. Because this body is made for this. This body is dukam mandiram, ye shariram, ye dukam mandiram. This body is a temple of suffering. And only a fool will think differently. "No, there's no suffering. I never suffer. I never suffered a day in my life. I never got a headache. I never got a bellyache. I never got a backache. I never sprained my wrist. I never sprained my finger. I've never been sick in my day in my life." Yes, there may be one person like that in India. There may be one person like that. So the person who's saying that is 30 years old. He's 30 years old. "I'm 30 years old. I feel great. There's no suffering. I have my power, my virility. I'm enjoying good health, good mind, good education. There's no suffering in this world. What are you rishis saying? What are you swamis saying about suffering?" "Oh, really? All right, well, come back in 20 years. Come back and see me in 20 years. Or in 50 years. You know, and then I see you in 50 years. I say, "Oh, is there any suffering are you experiencing in this body? Is this body giving you any suffering?" "Oh, Swamiji, so much suffering. I had a bypass surgery, a heart attack, this, that. So either sooner or later. Sooner or later, either now or in the future, this body will give you so much pain that you cry. You cry and cry and cry to get out of it. So much pain that you want to commit suicide. Well, because you're a little weak-hearted, you won't do it. You're too attached. Of course, it's sinful also. Committing suicide is sinful because you have to take another body. And for some time, you become a Buddha, a ghost. So that's also a suffering. Desire is there. A Buddha has desire, but no body to fulfill it. So just imagine, you have so many desires, and you get so frustrated. So this is the position of a Buddha or a ghost. So let us take encouragement from this verse to enter once and for all the family of Krishna. How many times will we take birth? How many times will we enter this family, and this gotra, and that gotra, and this gotra? And how much suffering do we have to endure before we realize that yes, that family relationships are good. Family relationships are very good. But they should be eternal. And they should last forever. And they should give unlimited happiness, moment by moment by moment. And they should be full of unlimited variety. The biggest problem with most people's relationships is they become boring. They become hackneyed, stale, old hat. They say old hat. They say, look, after somebody's, the husband and wife have been married for 20 years, where's the ecstasy? It's just the same old thing, the same old thing, the same old thing. Punat punat charvata charvananam. Punat punat charvata charvananam. Prahlad Maharaj says, simply people are chewing the chewed. They chew the sugar cane and get all the juice out of it and they throw it down. I got all the juice. I took all the gunaras. I extracted all the gunaras. And then a month later he thinks, maybe there's something in there still. And he picks it up. It's completely dry. It's completely dried out. There's not one drop of gunaras. But he's so foolish. He's thinking, well, there must be at least something inside. He's so passionate and he's so lusty and greedy to taste that gunaras that he tries again. And then he says, oh, nothing. This is called chewing the chewed. Chewing that which has already been chewed. So only a foolish person would do such a thing. A pick up a piece of sugar cane that's been completely extracted all the juice and try to chew it. So again and again engaging material activities, eating, sleeping, ahara, nidra, maitum, bayam. This is the same as chewing and chewed. When will we learn the lesson? There is real family. And Krishna says, please come, join the Achyuta Gotra. You'll never fall from that family. Your relatives will never leave you. You'll never be separated from your brothers and sisters. And your lovers and family, it's eternal family. Time does not work on that platform. That is the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So there's two questions by this gentleman. One question is, why does the material world exist? Which is obvious the nature of this material world. Birth, death, old age, and disease. Everyone is shackled in these chains. No matter whether you're rich or poor, young or old. So why did God create this world? Why doesn't He just have an unlimited spiritual world where everyone's always joyful and happy and there's no difficulty? So there's two answers. One answer is that the Lord has different categories of shakti. Prasya shaktir vividaya shuyate. The shakti means his energies. There's tatastha shakti, ladani shakti, bahiranga shakti, antaranga shakti, shristi shakti, so many different energies. So one energy, one, it's called amsha, one part of God is a jiva, jivatma. That is us, we're jivatmas. So we're expanded from God. We're one part of consciousness. We are part of consciousness. And God or Krishna is a totality of consciousness. So that particle, that jivatma, is called tatastha shakti. So Krishna, He creates that jiva. There's two categories of jiva. But one jiva He creates with the capacity to be an illusion. That's His will. First answer is, why does the material world exist? It is the will of God. Is the will of God. Now, because He's the source of everything. So He creates this material world, and then He takes this one category of jivatma, and He gives them an opportunity. He gives them the facility of free choice. So He holds in one hand, He holds like sweet rice. On the other hand, He holds a body of diplomat whiskey. So He says, make a choice. So one person will go for the sweet rice. Another person will take the whiskey. So the sweet rice is the antaranga shakti. It is the spiritual world. where there's a whole other category of expanded parts of God that live there, his parishads, nitya parishads, in the spiritual dimension. But on the other side, on the side of where the whiskey is, that is the material energy with the material world, which is created by God. So now the living entity is created, and within himself he has free will or choice. And so then the Lord sees, what will he choose? So the living entity, he says he glances. It's called Bahirmukha. Bahirmukha means he turns his face away. He looks to the sweet rice, he looks to Vaikuntha Dham, and he looks to the material world, the glitter of Maya. He says, oh, I'll go there. So then he enters into the material world. And he takes so many bodies, and then all this whole material world, which is created by Brahma and all these things, expanded from Vishnu. So now the Lord is watching, because he doesn't leave the jiva alone. He doesn't say, go there alone. Go by yourself. You made a bad choice. You chose the whiskey. Get out of my house. You want the drink? Get out of my house. No, he said, okay, you chose the material world, fine. But I'll go with you. I'll go with you. That's your choice, but I'm your friend. I'll go with you as Paramatma. So the jiva and the Paramatma come into the world together, and they enter so many bodies. And then, so that's called Chaitya Guru. The Paramatma, Antaryami, he's always speaking to the jiva, come back. Come back to my family. Why did you go away? Come back to me. Come back to me. But lifetime after lifetime, we can't hear the voice of Chaitya Guru because of illusion. So this world is created as a reflection of the spiritual world. There are rasa here, there are bhavas here, there's all these relationships because that's going on in the spiritual world. So the jiva, he's moving in this material world trying to find that spiritual taste. And the Lord is in his heart always inviting him, please come back, please come back. And then the Lord comes as avatars, das avatars, yuga avatars, so many avatars, lila avatars, shakya vesha avatars, and he teaches dharma, he writes Mahabharata, Ramayana. He appears to attract people, please, come back to my world. This is the Bhagavan Karuna, the mercy of God. So this is, in one sense, it's his lila. It's the pastime. He created this world, he created the jivas, because people say, well, why God, another way to ask the question, why did God make us the jiva with the capacity to be in suffering or be in this world? So the suffering had a beginning. We had a choice. Just like the person's in prison. He's in the Delhi or whatever you call it, Delhi prison, Delhi jail. And he's suffering. Not proper facility and fooding and everything, and there's no freedom, and he can't get out, and so he's saying, you know, why am I suffering? Why am I in this prison? And then the policeman says, because you broke the law. You made the wrong choice. You chose to break the law. You used your free choice. You broke the law, now you're suffering. So this material world is like a prison, like a jail. So the jiva, but that capacity to make that choice is given by God. So he gives that choice, and we make the ability to make choice is given by God, and when we choose the wrong choice, we go to the prison. But then, because it's his lila, it's his pastime, then he comes to bring us back. And he gives us an opportunity to leave this world. In other words, we look towards a spiritual world, but somehow or other, it wasn't attractive to us, so we went to this external energy, Bahirmukha. And the second question, ordinary married man or a single man or lady in this world, they're working very hard, trying to increase the comforts and satisfaction and happiness of their material life. And the scientists are providing various amenities and comforts and technology to so-called facilitate our happiness or facilitate our comfort. So, are you, Swamiji, are you advocating that we should stop that pursuit and stop everything and just go to the Himalayas and shave our head and become a yogi or a devotee or something? No, we're not saying that. While we're existing in the material world, we have to struggle. It's a struggle for existence, karshati. It's a great struggle. So, naturally, we want some comfort. So you perform your dharma, you do your duty, but you should understand my real affection, my real affection and love should be offered to God. It should be directed towards God, because I am not this body. I have this body, I have particular needs, I have particular duties. I will execute my duties and fulfill my needs in a simple, peaceful way. I'll live a peaceful, simple life to my own standard of satisfaction. But I understand that this is not the Nitya Dham. And this husband and wife, they are not my Nitya Priya, nor are they my Swatma. Krishna, Ram, God, He is my Nitya Priya. He is my Swatma. He is my very self. I am part of Him and He is part of me, eternally. That never stops. Your marriage stops in a few years. You're dead. Husband dies, wife dies. So where is the marriage? But your relationship with God never stops. The soul is eternal. So therefore, you engage in your dharmas, your material activities, but human life is meant to come to the platform of Sanatana Dharma. So that's why the Indian or Vedic society or culture is divided into four divisions. Student life, married life, retired life, renounced life. So, grihastha life means married life. So there's working, family, children, business. But God should also be there. Then there's retired life, called vanapras. So now, no more business, family business pretty much finished. Now you retire from material activities and increase your spiritual activities. Increase your Sanatana Dharma. And then the final stage of life is total retirement. It's called renunciation, tyag, vairagi, sannyas. Where the husband, just like I have two friends, they're married, and they're Brahmins. And their daughter's about to be married, and her son will soon be married. So I asked the husband, I said, so, when your children are married, what will you do? You'll just stay home with your wife? And watch TV and play cards for the rest of your life? No. I'm going to Vrindavan. As soon as they're married and settled up, I'm going to Vrindavan to live in an ashram. He has a job, he has a place here, and of course he's Brahmin by birth. But just see the sanskaras. That he did his duty, he had a nice family, he raised his children, he married them and provided for them, money's there for the wife, everything. So he's just very cool-headed about it. And I looked at his wife because they were both visiting me, and he's about 60 or so. I said, well, what do you think of that? I said, he's walking out, he's leaving in 2 years. He said, well, what to do? He's Krishna, if that's what he wants, he's Krishna, you know, what can I do? So he did his duty. He fulfilled all of his dharmic duties according to Shastra. Now he can dedicate his life to God. So some people, they come to that realization after thousands of lifetimes that I should dedicate my life to God. I am tired of this material life. I'm tired of these material families. So some people, they at the age of 10 years old, they run off to Hardwar. Or they run off to Rishikesh or Varanasi or Vrindavan and they become sadhus. They just leave their family. They never heard from again. You ask, oh, I have a brother, he went to Hardwar. I haven't seen him in 50 years. So this calling of God is when you hear the Chaitya Guru at every single moment, the beloved Lord of our heart, the Antaryami, is calling, please come to me. Please come to me. Hey, did you hear something? Did you hear something? No. I thought I heard a voice. And your wife says, I didn't say anything. No, I thought I heard something. Someone calling me that I should... Oh, I must be going crazy. This is the voice of the super soul. So that, when does that happen? Krishna says in Gita, Bahunam janmanamante gyanavam mam prapadyante vasudeva sarvamati sa mahatma sadurlava. Bahunam janmanam ante. After many, many births, bahunam bahujanam. Gyanavan mam prapadyante. One who has real knowledge, vidvam. Divyagyan. Paravidya. I don't mean computer, I know computer science. This is Lokika knowledge. Lokika vidya. Knowledge of this world. I'm talking about Brahmavidya, Paravidya. Jnanavan mam prapadyante. One who has paravidya, spiritual knowledge, he will prapadyante. He will surrender to Krishna. Krishna, I'm yours. Samarpanam. I give you Sharanagati, Prabhu. Krishna Sharanam Mama. Right, in Gujarat they have Krishna Sharanam Mama. And where is that place? In, Uday, actually it's Nakhchi, Natwar, Krishna Sharanam Mama. So people go to Nakhchi, and they say, oh, you're my Lord, oh Nakhchi. Of course it means Lord, he's the Lord of, he's Sri Nakhchi, he's the Lord of Radharani. They say, oh, Krishna Sharanam Mama, you know, I take shelter of you, you are my everything. Ganamam, so that's an intelligent man. And he understands Vasudeva Sarvam Iti. Vasudev Krishna Ram is everything. Sarvam Iti. Where do you find such a person? Where can you find such a person? Sa Mahatma Sudurlava. Such a broad-minded man. Mahatma. Such an intelligent man is very, very, very rare. Sudurlava. So each human being, each jiva, who comes to the human form of life is meant to come to this platform of intelligence. That Krishna is everything. He is within me. I am within him. I am part of his family. And let me surrender to him and eternally love him in the spiritual world. And taste that wonderful sweet flavor of bhakti ras. Now we're tasting lokika ras. This jada ras. What is this ras? The whole spiritual world is based on the exchange of love. Love is free. It's a free exchange. And it's based on the platform of pleasing the beloved. This type of love, where there's not a tinge of selfishness, not one iota of me, well, you know, if you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. There's no selfishness in spiritual love. And that's prema. But that is voluntary. Love is voluntary. You can't force someone to love you. A man, he may be very passionate and very lusty. He can't just grab some girl in the street and say, love me. She says, well, get out of here. She just punch him in the nose and run away or spray tear gas in his face. You can't force someone. Love springs from the heart. So Krishna doesn't force anyone to love him. So the choice is there. You have the free choice. You can love Krishna or not love Krishna. So that he's given the jiva, the tattvastha jiva, he has a choice to love Krishna or not love Krishna. The nitya siddha parikars in the spiritual world, they don't have any choice. Their only choice is how many different ways can I love Krishna? They are a different category. The nitya siddhas are expanded directly from Krishna's body. But the jivatmas of this world, they're expanded from Mahavishnu. There's a different category of shakti. There's a different category of living entity. So they have different feature. So we have this feature that we have this choice to choose. And then the people, the eternal associates of Krishna, they never saw this material world. They never saw it. They don't see it. Just like you're down here and it's cloudy and rainy. But the guy that's up there in an airplane, he's flying around the world in an airplane, he's above the clouds. It's bright sunshine for him. He doesn't see the clouds. He's not affected. So the Parishad's there in the bright sunshine of Krishna's spiritual world. They don't even see the material world. So we are a special category of shakti, tattvastha shakti, and we're given a special world for a special function of the Lord. Everything is for the pleasure of the Lord. But we are suffering because we made this choice, which we were given that power by God. But now he sees, oh, you've made the choice, but see, this world is not, this is not a good place. We have to come out of this place. And he attracts us. It's like we read in the Bhagavatam and also in Brahma Samhita that Mahavishnu glances at the material creation and the living entities are injected into the womb of material nature from the eyes of Lord Vishnu. And that glance is Lord Shiva, and the material nature is Parvati. So Shiva carries the jiva. He represents the aksha, the glance, the darshan. So when Vishnu is always with Ramadevi, so when he glances at the material energy, he doesn't touch it. Because Vishnu never touches the material energy, Durga or Parvati. Because there's a slight contamination by tamagun in the material energy. So Vishnu is always sattvagun. So that glance is the living entities, and it's carried by Lord Shiva, and then Shiva enters into the womb of the material nature, and that's called the You can say pregnancy or that how living entities develop in this world. So the jivas come from Mahavishnu. It's from Brahma Samhita. In other words, we're part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna means Vishnu. So that when we say Mamaya Vamsho Jiva Loke, we're part and parcel of Krishna. We're eternally part and parcel of Krishna. Vishnu is exhaling and inhaling, universes are coming and going. So we are a special category of Shakti, Tatastha Shakti. The Parishads are called Antaranga Shakti. Radharani, the Gopas, the Coward Boys, Lakshman, all these personalities, they're called they're a different kind of Shakti, Antaranga. They're inside the body of the Lord, of Krishna or Vishnu Tattva directly, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, and they're part and parcel of the Lord's body, of Krishna's body, Swayam, Paratattva. But we're coming also from Krishna, and we're part and parcel of Krishna's body, the jivas, but Mahavishnu is explained in Brahma Samhita. So it's true, we're part and parcel of Krishna. But we have the opportunity to actually go out of this world of the Purusha avatars of Vishnu. We can leave this whole world and enter into Krishna's world. Because we're nitya, nityam, we're eternal. That's why we're called Tatastha, Tatastha Shakti. The jiva, tata means border, bank. Like there's the water and then there's the beach, right? And then you go to Jagannath Puri, there's the sand and there's the ocean. And right in between, there's a point where the water comes up, the waves come up on the beach and the beach is there. So the water is like the spiritual world and the beach is like the material world. And that place where they almost meet, that's the tata. That's the edge. So that's where we are manifested. The jivas are manifested on the platform of that edge between the material and spiritual world. And then Krishna created this jiva, and he created the material world, and says, see what you do. What do you choose? So now, we can choose to get out by entering Krishna's family. So make the right choice. Don't choose another body. Don't choose another material family. Enter Krishna's Achyuta Gotra and don't fall from there. Don't leave there. That's the meaning of Achyuta. Infallible. You don't go from that place. And when Krishna sits on your consciousness and he accepts you and you accept him, then he doesn't leave your consciousness. He doesn't fall from your heart or fall from your mind. Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayor, Pachamsi Vaikuntha Gunana Varnane. Ambarish Maharaj, Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayor. In his mind was always Krishna Rupam. He was always holding the form of Krishna in his mind. Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayor. He was always meditating on the feet of Krishna. Feet of Krishna means legs, everything. Everything is there. Sondarya Rupa. And because of that, Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunarna Varnane. He was always speaking, Vacha, about Krishna and the spiritual world. Because Krishna was he was in the Achyuta Gotra. Although he's Ambarish Maharaj and he has this particular material Gotra, he's a big king from Madhya Pradesh. But still, he was in Achyuta Gotra. So we must come to that. Enter the eternal family of Krishna and don't leave. That's like Prabhupada. Such a powerful Acharya, Mahabhagavat. He initiated 5,000 disciples. There's only about 500 left. So, Prabhupada even said that when the devotees in the early days, they said, oh, Prabhupada, so-and-so left. And he said, don't be surprised who goes, be surprised who stays. It's how difficult it is. Sadurlabham, how rare it is. So such a powerful acharya, but he has 4,500 of his disciples have gone here and there. Even Lord Chaitanya, when Krishna came himself, he was traveling in South India with his servant. What was his servant's name? Krishnadas. Kala Krishnadas. He was with Kala Krishnadas. He was directly serving Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is the golden avatar. He's considered the incarnation of Radha and Krishna. He was part and parcel of God. He was with God, serving God. But then he got bewildered when he saw the gypsies. There were these Bhattaharis in South India. And he left Lord Chaitanya. He gave up the association of God. He gave up his service of Lord Chaitanya and he went with the gypsies. bunch of these loose men and women who move around in the jungles and things. You know, they're nomads, like nomadic people. They're wandering around, they do tantra, and they collect different things from the forest, and they have groups of people, nomadic people, gypsies, Bhattaharis. In South India, they live in jungle. So then they kidnapped him, and so Lord Chaitanya came back from his Madhukari. Hey, Kala Krishnadas, where is he? So then, of course, being all-knowing, he knows everything, he's off. And he stormed into the camp of the Bhattaharis to save his servant who had fallen. Just like Krishna comes here to save us because we're fallen. We've made this choice to fall into this world. But Krishna comes as a guru, as a acharya, as himself to save us. So Lord Chaitanya personally went. He said, hey. And then the chiefs of that tribe of Bhattaharis, they came out. They had swords and knives and arrows. And they were very angry. Because they like to keep all these young men and all these women. So Lord Chaitanya said, hey, where's my servant? You know, you've stolen my servant. And they said, he's with us now. You can't have him back. So then Lord Chaitanya said, you give him to me. And then they started to attack Lord Chaitanya with their swords and their knives. They started to attack him. And what happened is, as soon as they went to throw their knife at Lord Chaitanya or cut him with their sword, it bounced back and cut their own head. Like one man, he threw a knife and it went like this and came back and stuck him. And so all the big chiefs were dead. They were all killed by their own weapons. Because Lord Chaitanya doesn't use any weapons. You know, different avatars. The only weapon he uses is his prema. He preaches by prema and by beauty. By Saundarya Roop and by Braja Prem. This is how he spreads Krishna consciousness. By his beauty, people are attracted, and by giving them Krishna Prema Pradayate. Through the chanting, through the Nam Sankirtan. He gives these things. So he can't take any weapons. When he pulled it, one time in Navadvip Leela, Lord Chaitanya pulled his chakra out to kill Madhai. And then Lord Nityananda said, no, stop. Be merciful. Because you're not, no weapons. You're not allowed to use any weapons. Just like Krishna in Vrindavan, he doesn't use any weapons either. No astras. He just, his hand or his foot, a karate chop with his foot or a taekwondo with his hand. He doesn't use any weapons. But then when he goes to Dwarka, in Dwarka, then he uses weapons. Chakra, etc. Bow, arrow, so many things. So Lord Chaitanya went into that camp and he found his servant Kala Krishna. He picked him up, put him over his shoulder. He threw him on his back. Like, he didn't just say, come with me. He physically grabbed him and threw him over his shoulder and said, come with me, you rascal. Why did you leave me? So it's like that. Krishna sends a spiritual master into this world. And then he meets a disciple, and a serious, intelligent person who wants to get out. And he takes him and throws him over his shoulder. You rascal, why'd you leave Krishna? Why are you stuck in this material world? Why'd you make this foolish choice? Come with me. And he throws you over the shoulder. Nah, I don't want to go. So, we're fighting the spiritual master. We're fighting Krishna. But he still tries and tries and tries to bring us back to his eternal family. To the eternal family of the spiritual world. Where we can relish that unlimited nectar of bhakti ras. Bhakti rasamrita sindhu. This is our birthright as a human being. We are meant to swim in an ocean of nectar. We're meant to bathe in an ocean of nectar. We're meant to taste an ocean of nectar. And that is possible when we enter the Achyuta Gotra. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.